All right, so let's be honest about this. How many of you can relate to the little girl in the whole scene, right? You're just not a hugger. So when somebody hugs you, you're an adult, so you can't just push them down. So instead, you just sort of stiffen up, endure it, and whisper, "Thank you, Jesus," when it's done. Yeah. Then there's others of you. You're like, "What's the problem? Come here. Give me a hug. Feel the love," right? Those two, to me, they typify what we've been trying to understand for now the fifth week. The fact that we communicate love differently. We all have a primary way in which we communicate love. We've been calling it the love languages. But not all of us speak the same language, right? I would say that the two of them are not speaking the same language. All right? Obviously, his is the last language that we're going to look at, which is that's the physical touch, right? I don't know what it is for her, right? We've reviewed them before, so we've got the words of affirmation, right? "Hey, you look great today. Man, you did a fantastic job." If that's somebody's primary language, that just fills them up. They feel appreciated and loved, right? There's acts of service when we do something just small and kind. I'm being asked, we do the dishes, or we mow the lawn, or whatever we need to do. And that's just, wow, that communicates a lot to that person. Receiving of gifts. It doesn't have to be anything big, but to say, "You mean you thought of me when you were on that trip and you brought something back for me?" That just communicates love. Or quality time, no distractions, no iPads, no phones, just focusing in on that individual. If that's your love language, it speaks loudly to you. And just like today, physical touch. For some people, a hug, a brush, a holding hands, a hand on the shoulder, just speaks volumes, right? But our goal here has been that we would come to an understanding of all five love languages, and we would look in our relationships, our family and our friends, and try and understand what is their primary language so that you could speak into them, so that you could show them the love that you already have for them. And then secondary, if you could understand your own primary love language, then it helps your relationship with God. Because then through the pages of Scripture, as God is speaking that language, then you can know beyond a doubt of God's love for you. Well, we've tackled four of them. We're going to complete it today with the fifth and final love language, and that of physical touch. We'll discover that the language of physical touch is a little bit different than the other four languages. It has a special nuance to it, but know this, that physical touch is powerful. Human contact of us touching another individual is just a powerful interaction between human beings. Whether you speak this language or not, whether it's your primary love language or not, just the physical touching of another human being can convey an incredible amount. There was a startling study in 2009. DePaul University did it. They wanted to find out, could they convey emotions only through touch? So they got a bunch of participants, they blindfolded them, and they wanted to express to them eight different emotions without saying a word, only through physical touch. 75% of the respondents got it right. That was astounding, even to the researchers. 75% who participated in that, they perceived each of the eight emotions correctly. That's how attuned we are to physical contact and touch. I read this week a story on ABC News about an older couple that goes into the NICU unit and just holds babies, right? Now, isn't that a great volunteer job? Just go in and snuggle babies for a couple hours, right? Well, it turns out it's not just a nifty volunteer job. What they discovered was, since the parents can't be there 24/7, these two grandparents, if you will, come and hold the babies. They discovered that the babies that they hold, first of all, they're much more calm. Second of all, their vitals are better. And also, they can endure more pain. They're just healthier, even though they're in the NICU. Other studies have shown that during those formative infant years, that babies that are held, right, on a consistent basis, that they grow up to be more emotionally stable. Physical touch, human contact is powerful between us, right? Because physical touch is different than all the other, right, senses. In physical touch, it's not localized. All the other senses are localized, right? So it's whether it's your hearing, whether it's your smell or taste, but with physical touch, it's your entire body, right? There's tiny little tactile receptors that are over. And whenever you get touched, then it hits the nerve, and the nerve sends messages to your brain. Now, there are some areas which are more, right, sensitive than others, right? So the tips of your fingers are very sensitive. I was surprised to find out the tip of your nose is one of the most sensitive parts of your body, right? But the fact is, though, every part of you, right, is sensitive to touch. It's just a powerful force for us, which means that physical touch can make or break a relationship. Because we can convey so much with physical touch. It can make or break a relationship, right? You can convey love and hate with physical touch, right? It's a whole lot different to slap somebody on the back and congratulations as far as slapping them across the face, right? All physical touch, but conveying something very, very different. So in our society, when we greet somebody for the first time, or even if it's an old acquaintance, what's one of the first things that we do? We hold on our hand and we shake hands with them, right? By holding on our hand and shaking hands with them and having that physical contact, we're saying that I acknowledge you. I accept you. You're a valuable person, right? Now, the flip side of that, what if somebody refuses your handshake? That means there's something wrong in the relationship. Or worse yet, you've just insulted them. Physical touch is powerful for all of us. But for those whose primary love language is that of physical touch, it's even doubly so, right? So imagine a child whose primary love language is physical touch, right? That swat you gave him on the behind for misbehaving, that probably conveyed much more than what you intended. But on the reverse side of that, that hug that you gave them probably conveyed much more than what you expected as well. It's powerful physical touch, but especially for those whose primary love language is that of physical touch. Which means it's important then that we understand physical touch and we review a few things about it. And the first thing is this, that we have to make sure that the physical touch is appropriate. Now, I know that probably seems self-evident, but we need to call it out, right? Especially these last few years, we've become much more sensitive to all the inappropriate ways in which sometimes people reach out and touch another human being. So we have to understand that depending upon our relationship, some things are appropriate and some things are not. Certainly, the way that you have touched your spouse is a whole lot different than the way that you touch your friends, right? The contact you have with your children is much different than the contact you have with people at work, and most of it is just common sense, but we have to call it out. The love language of physical touch is different than the other four, because if you speak the language of the other four, if the other person doesn't, there's no harm, no foul, right? So if the other person's main love language is not words of affirmation, and you compliment them, okay, no harm, no foul. If their main love language isn't giving of gifts and you give them some token, okay, no big deal. They may be going, why did you get me this? But you really haven't done anything harmful in that. But with physical touch, if their love language isn't physical touch, whoa, it could be misunderstood. So just understand, if your primary love language is physical touch, remember it's not everyone's primary love language. Not everyone is a hugger, right? And you never want to make somebody feel uncomfortable, and worse yet, feel that something was inappropriate. This is different from the other love languages. Now, having said that, if it's not your primary love language, more than likely, somebody in your circle of family and friends, it is their primary love language. And it's really not a hard one to learn. So if your spouse's primary love language is that of physical touch, right? It's not all that hard to do some simple, small things to convey your love to them. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go PG-13 on you with this, all right? We'll leave that alone, right? I'm talking about simple things, right? I'm talking about when you're walking through the grocery store, just hold their hand. When you sit down to watch TV, just snuggle up next to them a little bit, right? It means that when you pass by in the hallway, maybe you brush up against them, maybe you give them a hug before you leave and a hug when you come home, right? These are small things, but if their primary love language is physical touch, you're filling them up every time. Every time that you brush up against them, every time you hold their hand, every time you put your arms around them, you fill them up and they feel loved and appreciated by you, right? If it's your children, then it's different. Your children, that means you maybe you give them an extra hug every now and then, right? You walk up behind them when they're working on their homework and you put your hand on their shoulder, right? These are simple, small things, but they convey a lot. And even with your friends, right? There are things that you can do with your friends that if that's their primary language, you can still speak to them and speak into them and let them know how important you are. And guys, this involves us too, right? Because we've got the man hug, right? Come on, guys, you know what I'm talking about, the man hug. The man hug is you extend your hand, you shake hands, you pull them in, three pats, and you're done, right? No, that's it, right? It's the rule, right? It's three pats, because after three, it gets weird, right? Three pats, we're done, right? That's the man hug, right? What I'm saying is we're not, this isn't a male-female thing, right? God's wired us all differently. And if the primary love language is that of physical touch, it's not that hard for us to learn that and to do small things for others, because it means so much to them. Now, even if physical touch isn't your primary language, there are times when physical contact, human contact, is needed, I would say, by all of us. It's during times of crisis. During times of crisis, I think all of us need some physical touch. The house burns down. You're just diagnosed with cancer. You lost your best friend. Think of those times of high emotions, times of devastation in your life. I think everybody needs an arm around the shoulder, if not just to be held. Because what that conveys is a sense of security, a sense of protection, a sense of warmth. Things are going to be okay. Sometimes the only way you can convey that is through human contact, because that's how God made us, right? And for the person whose primary language is physical touch, it means twice as much to them. They're desperate for it, to know that someone loves them and cares for them. Now, the great news is, if your primary love language is physical touch, God does indeed still speak that language. I believe we can still find it in the pages of Scripture that God even speaks the language of physical touch. If you look in the Old Testament, one of the most interesting stories, I think, is the story of Jacob wrestling with God all night. I have no idea what that's all about. All I know is that it was real, because what happens at the end of the evening, before dawn, right? God reaches out and he touches his hip. And so the next day, he's walking with a limp. In other words, Jacob doesn't go, boy, that was quite a dream. No, you were in a wrestling match all night long with God. God was hanging on to him and gave him a blessing. You go to the New Testament, all over the pages of the gospel, you have Jesus demonstrating his love through physical touch, breaking social norms half the time, reaching out and touching other human beings. We can take a look at just a few of them. We take a look at Mark chapter 10. Parents were bringing children to Jesus that he would bless them, right? The disciples got it wrong, but they get past that. And then it says this, and he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. He could have done that from afar. He could have gathered them all together, spoke a blessing, been powerful. Instead, I picture it the way I see it in every Sunday school classroom. That's the child sitting on his lap, and Jesus with his arm around them, blessing them, touching them, loving them, right? Go to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8, and Jesus goes to the home of Peter. It says, when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her. Well, first of all, if she's sick, he shouldn't touch her. They didn't do that. That made him unclean. Second of all, she's a woman. He shouldn't touch her, right? Instead, he goes over and he lays his hand on her hand. He shows his love for her. And on top of that, he heals her. The most astounding one for me is the beginning of chapter 8 of Matthew. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Leprosy is a horrific skin disease, right? It literally eats away your flesh until it gets down to the bone. In Jesus' day, if you had leprosy, you could not live in town. You had to live in your own colony, separated from everybody else, right? You couldn't touch anyone, and no one could touch you. You were considered to be cursed by God. If anyone touched you, that made them unclean, ceremonially unclean, which means until they went through a ritual, they couldn't go to the temple, right? This man just asked for him to heal him. Jesus reached down his hand and touched the man. "I'm willing," he said. "Be clean." To me, the most impactful thing of that whole story, I wonder how long it's been since that man had any human contact. Months? Years? Without touching another human being? Jesus loved him enough, didn't care about the ceremonial laws, didn't care about social customs, and he reached out and grabbed his hand. And oh, by the way, he healed him too. God still speaks the language of physical touch. And he still speaks that language today. There are times where I hope that you have felt God's presence, where you've just known that God is with you, right? Maybe it's times when you're out in the middle of nature. Maybe it's times of prayer. Maybe it's times of meditation. Maybe it's times of reading scripture. More times than not, it's for me here in worship. There'll be something that the band is doing. There'll be a song, and I'll be singing along, and pretty soon I just have to stop singing because I just feel that God is here. And I know he's here, but I mean, I feel his presence. Now, I have a theory, which I have no way to prove, and that is, I think if your primary love language is physical touch, that you're more in tune with this, that you understand and you feel the presence of God because you're more tuned into that, right? So you can tell is if you say to other people, "Man, I just feel God is with me," and they look at you kind of sideways, my guess is that's not their love language, but it probably is yours, okay? But even if it isn't your love language, even if you're not tuned into that, God is still present among us. He's present among us with the sacraments. Hey, think about that. It's a visible, physical display of God's grace and love for us. God knows because he created us that we're not just intellectual and emotional beings, but we're physical beings as well. So he gives us something tangible, something we can see and feel and touch and taste, right? So if you remember your baptism, if you were older when you were baptized, you felt the water flowing over you and knew the forgiveness of your sins. If you brought your child to the baptismal font, and you saw and felt the water as it went over him or her head, and you knew that the gift of the Holy Spirit was given to them. That's real. It's tangible. You could see it and feel it. And how about the Lord's Supper? We eat the bread, and we drink the wine. And yet we know that more is going on there. For Scripture describes to us that in with and under the bread and the wine is the body and blood of Jesus. We're eating bread, we're drinking wine, and at the same time, we're receiving this gift of God himself. The very sacrifice that it cost God's Son for our salvation is given to us, and God reaches out in a tangible way. It touches us with his love. God still speaks this language of physical touch because God wants every person to know, no matter what your primary love language is, that God has a deep love for you. And as we've experienced that deep love, we want to love others, but we want to speak the right language. So once again, I'll ask you, do you know somebody who speaks this language? In other words, who needs your touch? Who in your family and friends do you suspect that this is their primary love language? More than likely, it's the person that when you give them a hug, they stand up a little bit straighter. that when you pat them on the back, they smile just a little bit broader because it means something just a little bit more to them. It's not a hard language to learn. And the simplest of things can mean the world to them. But most importantly, they'll know how much you love them. And that's really been the point. It's been the point for 5 weeks, the reason we've gone through this, is so that in all of your relationships, those relationships could be better. That if you put in just a little bit of work and you sought to understand those people who are important to you and sought to try and decipher what their love language is, and even if it isn't yours, to speak that language because you love them, you care about them, and you want them to know that love. And then secondly, for you to understand your own primary love language, so that when you're going through the pages of Scripture, you can recognize and see God speaking that language so that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt of God's love for you. Because that's really what it comes down to. God is love. And God wants us to love one another. Let's just start speaking the right language. Amen. Please stand and pray with me. What an awesome God you are, that you don't just speak one kind of way of your love for us, but in a variety of ways. As you have made each of us different and unique, so you speak to us each different and in unique ways. We just thank and praise you that you care enough about us that you would speak directly to us. And I just pray that as we have gone through these series of messages, that you've spoken into the hearts of your people, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt of the love that you have for them. I also pray that you would give us the gift of your Holy Spirit, that as we look around, that those that are important to us in our lives, our family and our friends, that you'd give us the ability to speak into their lives, to speak their language, so that they also would know that they are loved. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.